Hello, I'm Sheila Donnelly, and you are part of a global audience listening to my podcasts. Thank you and welcome back. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I asked readers about the qualities you value in your principals, also known as your bosses, your executives, and your responses affirmed the importance of being provided feedback, both on a regular basis and in a balanced manner. If you've ever spoken with an assistant who's on the receiving end of critiques, constructive or not, and very little in the way of positive reinforcement and kudos, you'll know that that's a difficult situation. For people can work with critiques and suggestions for growth, but they truly thrive when constructive criticism is balanced with positive reinforcement about what an employee is doing well. Beyond providing feedback, whether it's informal or formal, in a timely manner, good employers also engage their employees in a routine performance management, or also known as evaluation, review cycle. This year marked the third consecutive year I brought you a weekend poll focused on performance management, which should be routine. And what does that look like? Well, evaluations and performance reviews will ideally reflect just one element of that cycle that includes performance planning and establishment of goals that can be measured. When I brought this latest poll to you, I spoke about the actual delivery of feedback. Do you need to psych yourself up for the meetings at which such results are delivered? Or is that part of a routine process in which you're comfortable that you're unlikely to hear any surprises? So I asked you a few questions, and here's what you told me in 2018. I asked, first, are regular performance reviews and feedback part of your professional life? And more than 68% of you who responded have received a performance evaluation in the last year. That is actually up. It may not seem like a high number, but that's up from 59% in 2017. 72%, almost three quarters of you, have received a performance review at some time in the last 2 years. At the other end of the spectrum, 9% have not received a performance evaluation while in their current roles. And if you go to my website, exceptionalea.com, and you can see all the detailed results, just search on my website, Weekend Poll Results Performance Management. So then it comes to whether performance evaluations and salaries are linked. And increasingly, that is the case. I'm not sure what the rationale was, but there's a big jump between 2016, 2017, and the numbers this year. For in both 2016 and 2017, only 37% of you said your salary was linked to performance evaluation. This year, 76%, just over three quarters of you, reported that your salaries are linked to the results of your performance evaluations. 67% of you said that training and development plans are tied to the evaluations, and that's up just slightly from the year before, 62%. So what happens in terms of goal setting? I asked how many of you are required to set SMART goals. Those are specific, measurable, achievable, results-based, and time-bound. Now, if you're not one of those who's required to set goals, could there be a benefit for you introducing that approach? 89% of you this year, by the way, do set goals as part of the process, but I neglected to check this year, although I did in previous years, how many of you have the SMART goals. You can secure, if you think about SMART goals, having measurements that are results and time-based and bound, if they're not part of your current world, think about introducing them. You might be able to use that to leverage participation in a conference or other professional development undertakings as a means of supporting achievement of a measurable goal. I also asked readers how you prepare for your performance reviews or evaluations. And here are the five most frequently cited approaches. So again, this is where I provide readers with a list of options and ask people to tick off the approaches they use. So in descending order, the top five. Number one, I review my progress against goals I'd established for this time period. Number two, I maintain a file, electronic or otherwise, of my accomplishments and update it throughout the year. Number three, I maintain a file, again, electronic or otherwise, listing my professional development activities and update it with each new course or event. In fourth place, I maintain a file of kudos for work well done. And in fifth place, and this I think is a very important one, I review my executive's goals and consider means by which I've supported her or his capacity to achieve such goals. So think about it. You're going into a meeting with your principal, the person to whom you report. What's meaningful to that person is how you have, if whether you can demonstrate how you've actually supported their ability to succeed. Now, some people also selected the other options, which were reviewing the job description and reviewing the job description and drafting edits to reflect if there have been changes in the last year. That could be a great opportunity to do this. Another option, review the organization's strategic plan or your department or division's part in achieving the strategic plan, and consider how your contributions support it. And again, going back to your job description, if your role is changing or evolving, which many do, make a point of recording and being prepared to discuss how the role has changed and whether or not the job description needs changing. Now, when it comes to your principles and feedback, I heard from you that many of these people need to step up the informal feedback. Let them know in a positive and gracious way. 52% of you are working with principals who provide you feedback on an informal basis, which is great. 29% of you receive informal feedback on only an infrequent basis, and 14% don't get any at all. So where does that leave someone? Of course, you're self-motivated, self-driven, but getting feedback balanced, both constructive feedback on ideas for improvement and positive reinforcement, make a big difference in someone's working life, doesn't it? And I found that we're on the same page with this, because almost two-thirds of you found that both informal and formal evaluations and feedback are equally useful. So 66, just about 66% of you felt that way. For more than a third of you, though, it's the informal feedback that's the most useful in your career. So it looks like everyone's on the same page that informal feedback is really relevant and helpful to making you helping you perform better. When it comes to the formal evaluation process, I asked readers to rate their comfort on a scale from 1, which represents great discomfort, to 5, complete ease. 28% of you reported that you feel complete ease, and that says something good about you, your principles, and your workplace culture. 56% of you were able to give a rating of 4 or higher. At the other end of the spectrum, 21%, almost a fifth, 1 in 5, gave ratings of 2 or lower. And so that made me wonder if, for some people, there's a correlation between discomfort with the process and the infrequency of evaluations that are delivered, or if they're not supported throughout the year or the evaluation period by informal feedback. I did ask if you evaluate your principals or if you contribute to their evaluations, and there are different schools of thought when it comes to whether an assistant should contribute to the evaluation of the person or people they support. Those in favor of the approach argue that an executive assistant often has insights no one else could contribute and has a really good handle on what's going on. Others will consider that entirely inappropriate, and that was reflected in your responses. For only 17% of you are routinely included in those performance evaluations of your principals. Another 3% are included sometimes. For 8 out of every 10 of you, this just doesn't happen. Now, what about surprises? A good executive assistant knows that you never want to surprise your principal. There's no such thing as a good surprise. Well, if you won a lottery or got a huge raise, but again, the latter shouldn't be a surprise. So I asked you if you had been surprised. 34% of you said no, you have not been surprised on your performance reviews, that you didn't hear something that hadn't come up to you already on an informal or other basis during the period between your two recent evaluations. And that is the result most HR professionals would hope to hear, isn't it? If you are going to be surprised, though, you would hope it would reflect positive news. And 40% of you reported that that was the outcome at an evaluation. You were happily surprised. For 21%, however, that feedback was not so positive. So that is the latest on performance management for assistants in 2018. And that will wind up today's podcast. But before I say goodbye, I'd like to give some shout outs and good wishes to some listeners and readers who've been doing interesting things lately. And I will start with Kim, Mickey, Laura, Angela, Julia, Sophie, Sue, Lindsay, Angela, Jennifer, Sherry, Emily, Jane, and some professional associations, IAM, the Institute of Administrative Management, and Boston Executive Assistants. And of course, before signing off, I'm also sending good wishes to all my listeners. Thanks and have a great day. Take care.